Okay? Root shear 1. Okay? I'm just writing it down because we'll know for the
video.
Okay? And let's... Pardon me? Okay. Shear 1. Take 1. All right, here we go. Okay. Okay, first of all, I want to give Rabbi Milinowitz, yeshar koach that he invited me here to speak. I think it's very moving to be part of the community, and his trust that I'm not going to say anything too far off. And obviously everything I say, that the final psak lies on the Rav. So anybody wants to go to the Rav and say that what I'm saying doesn't make sense, you're more than welcome to. Okay, so why are we here? Because really keeping kosher is not so simple. It's a bit complicated. Anybody can just say, as we talked about earlier, anybody can just say everything's usher. But we want to know the foundations. We want to know what makes things mutter, what makes things usher. And by doing that, we'll have a certain consciousness in the kitchen. So the first thing that we want to start out with was what I call the three T's. The three T's. Taste, temperature, and time. The three T's. These are the three things that are our foundation on how we're going to know if we even have a problem. So the first T, taste. We have a din called tam ki'ikr. Tam ki'ikr means that the essential value or the essential worth of something is its taste. So, for example, if a person cooked something tame, if a person cooked something tame with something kosher, the taste of that tame goes into the kosher and makes the taste that, and makes that kosher thing usher. Okay, now that's not going to happen in our houses. We don't have tame things, so we're going to refer to the transfer of milk and meat. Milk goes into meat. If there's not 60 against it, it will make the food usher. So, for example, if you take your spoon and you stick it into meat, your milking spoon, you stick it into meat, you need 60 against that spoon. Okay, now, there's two points. There's two very interesting points. Number one is, how big is 60 against the spoon, against the piece of a spoon? So believe it or not, you know, we have people that actually check this out during our chavura. It's usually a nice sized coffee cup. What, about 8 ounces, something like that? 8 ounces. Yes. Can we move that stereo over to here? I think the guys can hear me pretty well without the. We're getting an extension. Okay.
We're going to move the speaker over there.
Okay. We had walls here. We can. We'll begin again. 1 minute. Okay, it's very important to know these measurements. Very important to know the measurements. Measurements are quite important. How's the video? Is it okay? Are we ready? Are the speakers hooked up over there? What? Oh, okay. Anyways, there's still more people coming, so don't worry. We'll extend this year. We won't stop on the dot. Okay, we'll stop when I run out of knowledge, which won't be too long. No.
We'll be here a while.
Okay. All right. I think we got. It's being set. Can we hear over there? Okay. Not yet. The speaker is right behind. Okay. Okay. Testing, 1, 2, 3. First of all, thank you all for coming out on this weather. It's very nice to have a turnout in this kind of weather. Sleet, rain, cold wind. Okay, can we hear over there? Yeah, everybody can hear? I'm down a little bit. Okay. There we go. Okay, now we're all set. Okay, here we go. So we started out by the three T's. Okay, time, taste, temperature, and time. First thing you got to know is taste. Taste. And when you have a spoon that absorbs taste, any clee that absorbs taste, there's 60 against it that cannot usher anything. So keep in mind that a spoon, for example, a spoon is about 8-ounce cup. That's your average nice-sized coffee cup, right? That's a nice-sized coffee cup. So that already has 60 against it. Think about the spoon. And you only measure, you don't measure against the whole spoon, the whole handle. Okay, that's called kham iksasu kham kulo. Half, when it's, something is half hot, it's all hot. We don't paskin that way. We paskin only whatever is hot. That's what you're going to need to negate in your food. So if you take a spoon, for example, and you flattened it out, so it's about the size of what, a silver dollar? You could pick, and then it doesn't even cover the bottom. If you covered the whole bottom with the spoon, you could probably stack up 60 of them. You know, you'd flatten it out. So you see that it's very hard. You got to know in the beginning, it's very hard to trafe up your kitchen. If you stuck it into your chulin, the spoon is obviously trafe. So you have to put the spoon on the side and kasha that later on. If it gets mixed up, we'll deal with that in time. So that's, now, people always ask, and we'll cover this again later on. People always ask, but how much does a spoon, how much does stainless steel actually bolea? How much does it absorb? Bolea means to absorb. Stainless steel, I mean, come on. Is it really full of milk? I need 60 against the whole taste in that. There's hardly any taste in that spoon. So the Mefarshim bring down that since we don't know how much went in. Something went in. That's for sure. Something went in. You use your spoon. We call it milchix. Something went in. Since we don't know how to measure, we're going to take the highest amount possible, which would be as if the whole spoon is milchix. And the reason we do that, there's several reasons, but the major reason is that we don't want the people to determine on their own what's 60 and what's not, how much is in there or not, because then all of a sudden everything is kosher. Everything nobody will trafe up anything. Okay, so that's taste. Taste you need, that's when it's taste of one thing which is different. That's called min be'eino mino. So milk with meat is called min be'eino mino. Milk with milk is min be'mino. Okay, milk with milk is min be'mino. Meat with meat is min be'mino. They have the same test. That only needs rov or majority to negate it. Our problems come up with taste, which is min be'eino mino, the wrong mixtures of milk and meat. Yes. Okay. Now, the other thing that we have to, so that's one thing. And by the way, it has to be, we'll get to that in a minute. It has to be a fresh taste. Okay, it means it has to be a ben yoma. So, taste, temperature, time. We'll go back to temperature in a minute. Time. It has to be within 24 hours. In other words, if I take my spoon, you don't even have a question unless the spoon was used in a kli rishon within 24 hours. A kli rishon means that you stirred your let's say porridge with, your cereal with, and it had milk in it. Just eating cereal out of a bowl That's nothing. That doesn't make your spoon milchix. If all the time you have a spoon that you never ever use with hot food, that spoon is parv. No matter how many times you use it for milchix, that spoon is parv. Only if you used it with a kli rishon. And then after 24 hours, it's called no sin tam lifgam. No sin tam lifgam means it gives a bad taste. Anything which gives a bad taste cannot trape up something else, including if it was really a type of meat, that tame meat or nevela meat, anything which is 24 hours old, any taste absorbed by a kli, which is 24 hours old, it cannot usher anything. So that basically is most of your questions out of the way, because if you don't have it from a kli rishon, or you don't have the 24 hours, you can't hear over there? Oh, it got turned off? Okay, we have our tech guy over there. So anything which is 24 hours old cannot trape up anything. So that's the first question when I get asked a question. That's the first thing I ask the person, and this is the first thing that your husband or your wife's, you have to know, was the kli that I used 24 hours old or not? From the last huge usage of a kli rishon. Okay, a kli rishon is a kli that was used for on the fire, or just taken off the fire, and it's not transferred to anything else. So that's taste, time, and there's also temperature. Taste cannot be, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, taste cannot be transferred unless the food is hot. So if I take a knife, a cold knife, a milchix cold knife, and I cut a piece of chicken cold, nothing happens. That knife is perfectly kosher. Wash it off and use it. Anything cold does not transfer taste. Okay, so if I have a big butcher knife and I cut a piece of cheese, it's all mutter. What? The cutting board? The fat. That doesn't matter.
It doesn't absorb.
It will not absorb. The fat, cold. Even if the thing is fatty, so what does fatty do? Fatty is that you have to wash it well. Okay? That's all it is. And by the way, all our kalim are considered clean. In the old days, when water was hard to get, they had all kinds of questions by knives and forks, if it's clean or not. Our kalim are considered clean. Okay? So all you have to worry about when you use it is how it absorbs. Not whether or not it's dirty. If you have a question if your kli was dirty or not, you don't worry. So there are three, going back now, our three types of situations are time, as we said, whether or not it's 24 hours, three T's, time, taste, whether or not it was 60 or not against it, and time, taste, and temperature. Now, how much is temperature? It's called Yad Soledet Bo. Only if it's Yad. The warm is not enough. I buttered a piece of toast. Big deal. That's not hot enough. But a piece of toast is not hot enough. I took my Fleishik's knife and buttered a piece of toast. That's nothing. That's not gonna usher your food. The toast has to be Yad Soledet Bo. To get a piece of toast Yad Soledet Bo, I think you're gonna end up burning it. You won't have this situation. So, how much is that? Yad Soledet Bo is 43 degrees centigrade or 109.4 Fahrenheit. I just had it written down. I didn't memorize it. Okay? You know he's going to do it.
Out of the toaster,
what?
Even if it just came out of the toaster?
Here's a story. A pizza could be Yad Soledet Bo. A toast is probably not. Maybe if it just came out, but it cools off pretty quickly, a toaster. A toast. A pizza. What? Yeah, okay. If it's hot enough that when you touch it, you go like that, but we don't paskin that way. You have to know temperatures. Even if you withdraw your hand or you don't withdraw your hand, that's just an indication, but we don't really want to rely on people's sense of touch. But that's what Yad Soledet Bo means. Yad Soledet Bo is that it would burn your hand. Okay, you would go like that. For example, it's very interesting. Yad Soledet Bo. Let's talk about how we find that in our kitchen. You ever have a question? Hey, I washed my milchik dishes in my fleishik sink. Well, why should that trape up anything? Your water coming out of your tap is not so hot. It's not going to burn your hands. If it's going to burn your hands, I highly doubt that you're going to be washing them. You know? What? If you keep your water on a long enough time, maybe it could get that hot. Maybe it'll start burning your hand. Okay? And then, at that point, you probably washed your dishes. You probably finished. But if you didn't, there's other things that we will talk about, how taste transfers. It's one thing to get to the situation where it's a possibility to transfer the taste, but then you have to have actually taste transferring. So washing up the wrong dish in the wrong sink is not gonna trape up anything. Very, very, very rare. It's almost impossible. You'd have to work at it. You'd have to work at it. Okay? And again, your first reason is that it's not Yad Soledet Bo. Also, you have soap. Remember we said taste, time, and temperature. So we have the temperature, even if you have the temperature, but you put soap in, you killed it. Taste, there's no taste. There's no, and when we said time turns something into lifgam. So once you turn it to lifgam, once you turn it to a bad taste, you got the soap there. So the soap knocked out all our problem anyways. Even if you have a situation where you have a possibility that it's Yad Soledet Bo. And don't forget, it has to be Yad Soledet Bo from a Kli Rishon. This is coming from your Dud Shemesh through your pipes and out. There's a whole shiloh what that is. The maximum you might have is Irui, which is pouring. We'll talk about that in a little later. Irui transfers Kadei Klipa. Transfers a little bit. But then you have to have it, again, you have the soap, you have the 60, you have in your water, you have 60 against that little bit of the Kli, you have so much water. And this is also, when we get to dishwashers, this is also if you wash the wrong Kli in your dishwasher, we have many heterim for that too. Yes?
And both by the sink and the dishwasher, don't you also have the issue of
Okay, that's a great question. The question is, if you have an actual problem in your dishwasher or in your sink of actual ba'ain, usually in the dishwasher, let's go to that first, you're scraping off most of the stuff. So your ba'ain is going to be batel. Quite a bit of it is going to be batel. And in the sink, you probably are going to sink, most of your junk is going to be off. Then you have in your sink, in yourself, in the sink, it's called a Kli Sheni. Even if the sink fills up, it's filling up, but now it's not hot anymore. It's called a Kli Sheni when my sink filled up. The only way you're going to be able to trape something up is if they're touching, the water hits while they're touching, and it's touching the Be'ein. Be'ein means the actual food itself. It's Be'ein. It's called, because you see it, Be'ayin, Be'ein. So it's very, very hard. You won't have it. Okay? So those are the three basic rules. Based on these three basic rules, you can monitor almost your whole kitchen. Okay, but don't worry. I'm sure people will find out, you know, somehow. So let's talk about the types of kalim. Next thing you have to know is what types of kalim can be koshered or not. That's also a major issue. So we said metal, obviously metal can be koshered. Okay? Earthenware, clay. Clay cannot be koshered. Okay? The way that you do, like, people they inherit, let's say, China. I get this question all the time. I got China, I got porcelain, I got some kind of clay made out of Keras. What do I do with it? Can I use it? It's over 24 hours, it's over 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old. Can I use it? So, that cannot be kosher. The bleias go in, and you can't get it out. But there is one way you can kosher it. Is if you put it back into the kiln. If you put it back into the kiln, the original oven that makes it, then it can be koshered, because that's called libun chamur. We'll get to that. And the reason why that could be koshered is because essentially what you did is you burned up anything that's in the kli itself. You got it to the point where it's so hot, it's either going to break or it's going to be purged. It's only two options. When you put it back into the kiln, it's like remaking the kli. Okay? Glass. I asked Rabbi Mordechai Goldstein over on by my area. I asked him about glass. So, very interesting. You know, glass, he said, glass, if it's true glass. We're not talking about we're not talking about Pyrex or Duralex. Again, they can't hear. The girls can't hear. What? Did I do something wrong? What? Batteries here? Are dead? Batteries are dead. I guess, what? Can you hear? Okay. If we tell the guys down below to be quiet, then everybody will be able to hear. Okay? I'll move over a little bit. Okay? So, we're talking about making a new kaolin. Glass. Now we talk about glass. Glass, if it's real glass, is not bolea. Real glass you can use for milk and you can use for meat if it's real glass. Okay, some people even say Duralex, Pyrex, but I haven't found anybody reliable that says Duralex and Pyrex is like real glass. So I'm machmir on Duralex, Pyrex, things like that. The only thing that you could possibly be makel on is real glass. So for example, and then I'll tell you an application that I saw. So for example, if a person had a real glass baking dish, so the Rav told me that you could bake a cheese lasagna, wash it out, and within 24 hours bake a meat lasagna, or any meat type of thing. Because the glass is not bolea. By Pesach, we worry about a mashahu, we worry about the most minimal amount, so then we don't, Ashkenazim don't kosher glass for Pesach. Yes? Pyrex, they say, because Pyrex and Duralex have additives. In the old days, they used to, before they knew lead was no good, they used to actually put lead in it. Now they put other types of metals in it. They temper it. So because they tempered it, it absorbs. It's not pure glass. Where do we know that glass is not bolea? It's for those who want to know the sources of things. Glass is not bolea. We learned it from heart. A heart. Because a heart pumps blood. It's slippery. And hearts are, when you salt them, they don't absorb the blood when hearts are being salted to be kosher. Otherwise, but the argument is that you see when you cook them that they start absorbing. So it's not quite like glass. That's a machlokas in Tosfos. But the point is that glass is slippery, and that's why it doesn't bolea. Now, how does that affect us? I was driving along with a guy in a car, and he says to me, I don't go to my in-law's house. What do you mean you don't eat at your in-law's house? And he wasn't talking about Pesach. I don't eat at my in-law's house. Why? Because they are Sephardim, and they have one set of glass dishes for everything. And here, really, he could have eaten there, but he made a whole big thing out of it that he couldn't eat at his in-law's house. And if he would have known the halacha, He could have eaten at his in-law's house without any problems. Obviously, they have different pots and different anything metal. But because of their dishes, he wouldn't eat off of their dishes. Now, again, if he would have known the halacha, he could have had shalom bayis. He could have had within the families a nicer relationship. I found in life, the more you know, the more you can be makel. The more flexibility you have, and that's why you see the biggest rebbeim are usually very lenient. You know, they're generally very calm because they know what they're doing. Okay, so the custom of Ashkenazim is for Pesach we're machmir and glass. Sfardim are not. Korel, so we said Pyrex, Duralex, they are tempered with other materials, so therefore they have a din of needing Haggalah. Yes. Today you really don't know. Today you get. It used to be when I was a kid, used to like glass was the big thing. It used to say 100% glass. But if it doesn't say 100% glass, I don't think they make 100% glass anymore. It's just not economical because it breaks so easy.
Correct.
However, there are people that say even Duralex and Pyrex are not Vuleim. So I'll try and find those opinions. I have not found them yet, but I'll try and find them during this series. So I'll look at more closely. So when he was Machmir, not eating at his in-law's house, maybe he had what to rely on. But I think that he could have done it. There would be a way of doing it. Okay? Korel, Corningware, Korel is the same, Korel. Here, I looked up Korel. And it says, the following is a quote from Korel.com. Each piece of Korel glassware, Korel dinnerware, is like a sandwich, consisting of two different glass compositions, core and glaze. The illumination results in this thing called the Virel glass that exceeds the normal strength possible for any single glass composition. Put simply, lamination for glass, lamination does for glass what it does for wood. It yields a finished product much stronger than the individual components put together. Okay, therefore, Korel will have the same law as glass. Korel. According to this, Korel has the same law as glass, and this was gone over by a posek in Lakewood, and he accepted that. So maybe Korel, if they ate off of Korel. Okay? Corningware is Cheres. Teflon. Teflon is very tricky. Teflon, if you trafe up, I'll explain it to you. If you trafe up your frying pan, you have to ask about it. Because if you trafed it up with milk and meat, and both the milk and the meat were fresh, milk and meat, you might as well throw away your Teflon frying pan. What do I mean? Because you used it for frying, and as we're going to see how you use it, that's coming up. How you use the kli is how you're going to have to kosher the kli. So we'll come back to the Teflon frying pan. You might have to throw away the frying pan. By the way, there's pots, porcelain and ceramic. You have pots which are porcelain. Porcelain pots, you can't kosher. If you trafe up a porcelain pot, unless you trafe it up with heterabola, with a bad taste. The milk is spoiled. If you trafe it up with spoiled milk, then you're okay. If you trafe it up with pure milk into a meat pot, then you're gonna have trouble. Okay, we'll go more into the cases as they come up. So you have to realize that some of our pots are I have, for example, a cast iron pot, but it has porcelain, it has, what's it called, the porcelain around, not porcelain, ceramic around it. Okay, that has a din of a kli cheres. Okay, and plastic. Plastic is a whole machlokus. My bottom line is, if it's not going to melt when you throw it into boiling water, you can kosher it. Plastic, there are people that won't let you kosher plastic, and there are people that are very makel. I saw in this book called by Rabbi Zusha Blech, Kosher Food Production, and he allows you, he used to be one of the OU Rabbanim, he allows you to kosher plastic. As long as the plastic will not melt when you throw it into your boiling water. Okay? Now, let's get to the point of how tastes are transferred. Okay, because we talked about what?
Wood,
you can kosher wood. Just take the wood, you take your wood spoon and you put it in boiling water. Now, obviously it's going to float, so how do you do that? You're allowed to take a kli and you put it halfway in, and then you can take it and then turn it the other half and put it in. Just make sure you get the whole thing in. Okay? Okay, now. A wood spoon is better than a wood spoon. You can't kosher cheres, clay. You cannot kosher clay, but you can kosher wood. Wood is like metal. Just stick it in the boiling water. You ever hear that people want to kosher? They trape up their knife and they bury it. Like, if I bury it for 10 days or however many days, I mean, I've heard this. So there's no such din like that. There's no such din as burying a kli, and then after a while it's kosher. Okay? But people do. Because remember, we're going to learn, the way in is the way out. How you trape it up is how you're going to kosher it. Okay? That's... Old Bubbies is here. So... That's Ne'itza Bakarka. That's, what is Ne'itza Bakarka? Ne'itza Bakarka is the same thing as our Brillo pads. Our scrubbies. All our kalim. Why are all our kalim kosher? Because we're scrubbing them all the time. Even the worst case scenario, we're using scrubbies, we're cleaning our knives. So a scrubby is equal to Ne'itza Bakarka. But Ne'itza Bakarka only cleans. Even if they made a mistake, they said Ne'itza Bakarka, they probably learned it as a night. How do you say a flower pot? Atzitz, that's it. Atzitz. Ne'itza Bakarka. So they said Atzitza. Atzitz. Atzitz Bakarka. That's probably how the thing came into being. The old Zadies used to put it into the ground. We have too many women here. So people used to put it into the ground, and that's how they. But that can't do anything. You might as well put it on your shelf and say it's kosher after 10 days. That doesn't do anything. Scraping is the thing that koshers, and it only scrapes is only cleaning, which is equal to your scrubbies. Okay? So we have to know how do taste transfer? What are, like we talked about the sink, we talked about the frying pan, we talked about pots boiling. What's the parameters of things transferring? So, first of all, there's a pasuk. And I'll read you the translation of the pasuk. Eleazar HaKohen said to the soldiers who come to battle, "This is a Torah decree, which Hashem commanded to Moshe. Only the gold, silver, copper, tin, iron tin, and lead. Anything that is used with fire, you must put through fire, and it will be purified. However, it must be purified with sprinkling water, that's mikveh later on, but any of these materials that is not used with fire, you must pass through water." So that's basically Libun and Hagala. Okay, and then there's also just anything that's not used with any, like a cup, you just wash it out. So there's libun and hagala. Libun is koshering through fire. There's two types of libun. Libun kal and libun chamur. Libun kal is what we're going to try to help you with your frying pan. If you have a Teflon frying pan, so the first thing I'm going to ask you is, was the frying pan a ben yoma frying pan, or was it an eino ben yoma frying pan? Means, was my frying pan used with meat for the last 24 hours, or was my frying pan used with milk for the last 24 hours? Then it becomes a ben yoma. So if I have a meat frying pan that was not used within 24 hours, and I put now, it's a meat one, not used with 24 hours, this is an example, and I take and I fry an egg with butter. Happens all the time, right? I have my eino ben yoma frying pan, and I fried butter. Okay? Now that frying pan is treif. By the way, what's the din of the food? Can I eat the food?
Yes.
Because it was an eino ben yoma. It was a bad taste. Bad taste cannot usher the food. So the frying pan doesn't make the food usher. But now my frying pan is usher. Midrabanan. Not usher midraisa. My frying pan is usher midrabanan because the rabbanan make a gezeira that maybe you will use that frying pan for meat within 24 hours of the milk. So based on that, the frying pan is usher to use. But that frying pan, since it's only usher midrabanan, I can now kosher it with libun kal. Frying is a question because sometimes it's used with oil and sometimes it's used with a little bit of oil, meaning most of the cooking is done with the actual metal of the frying pan, and therefore it's fire. If it's a thick oil, if it's deep oil like we make French fries, so that's called bishul. That's not frying. That's not frying. That's boiling in oil. That's not frying. We tend to call it frying, French fries, but that's really boiling. So the frying pan, since Chazal has a suffix on it, we don't know what's really doing the cooking. Is the pan doing the cooking, or is the oil doing the cooking on when you're doing a little bit of oil? So since we have a question, when we can be lenient, when it's a rabbinical question, so then we can be lenient and we can kosher it in an easier way, which we call libun kal or hagala. Hagala and libun kal are the same. Hagala is when you drop something into boiling water. You drop your spoon into boiling water.
Libun kal and hagala
are equal. Okay? So libun kal, and libun kal would be that you just put your frying pan, wait 24 hours, put your frying pan on the stove, turn it on for what, about 10 minutes? 10, 15 minutes tops. You don't want to burn it. And then that heats it up to the point where you just did libun kal. Libun kal is like if you would put a piece of straw or a piece of paper in there, it would start to turn brown and smoke. It doesn't have to whoosh up in fire. It would just smoke. Okay, that's libun kal. And that's how you would kosher your frying. Most of the situations that you get into we're gonna get out of it because we're gonna say, well, you probably didn't use your frying pan for the last 24 hours, so therefore we can kosher it. And that's very important because if it's a Teflon frying pan and it was a ben yoma frying pan, I just used it Erev Shabbos for frying my egg, and then all of a sudden I fried my chicken in it, or I fried my meat in it, or anything. Now it's libun chamur. It's going to need libun chamur, and that means that you have to make it red hot, which will burn the Teflon. You can throw out the frying pan. Okay, so that's the. You have to know, keep you aware in the kitchen, when was the last time I used this kli for a kli rishon? Has to be a kli rishon. That's. So when you use with fire, you kosher it with fire. Okay, if anything which was used for cold foods, you just wash out. Just wash it out. So if I have a cup, I put milk in my soup bowl. I ate from my soup bowl. I have my fleshic soup bowl, and I ate and I put milk in it, and I ate. Just wash out the bowl because everything is cold. Anything that has cold food, you just wash it out.
That was not a kli rishon.
There's not any. And the soup bowl, anyways. Also, most soup bowls are not kli rishon, anyways. But that doesn't matter. We're going to be machmir. We want to try and be machmir on kli shenis lechatzchila. B'di'eved, we can be makel on kli shenis. Okay, but we'll go. We'll begin now. We're going to get into that. Yes.
Okay, I had a question about the frying pan that we were going to give a gala to because it was not a ben yoma.
Correct, yes.
And I thought you said that you would have to wait 24 hours.
Yes, you have to wait 24 hours.
Where I found that confusing was that I thought that before that, you said that the D'oraisa, that frying pan was still kosher and it was only treif midrabanan, and that it was because of the gezeira that you might use it within 24 hours. But then, if you just waited 24 hours and you didn't do the libun call, the question is,
since after 24 hours of making my mistake, I can never come to a deraisa problem again because now, let's say, I have my pan, which has not been used for 24 hours. And I fry now butter in it. So what happens? That pan is aser midrabanan because the rabanan, they make you wait 24 hours before you can kasher it because we're worried that you're going to use that pan within 24 hours of meat. There's another reason I'll tell you in a minute. So therefore after 24 hours, so why don't we just say that I don't have to kosher anymore because I'll never come to make a mistake. I'll never come to a deraisa problem. Okay? So why don't we do that? The answer is that it also includes part of the gezeira of waiting 24 hours. It's a very important gezeira of waiting 24 hours. Part of that gezeira is for the times when we actually have real treifas. And real treifas, We want to make sure you wait for 24 hours. So we go across the board, even in cases where the kli is mutter, we go across the board because at any given time we don't want you to make a mistake of within 24 hours because you're gonna look at your watch and you're gonna say it's 24 hours but it really wasn't. And so somewhere along the line, we're going to make the mistake. Somebody's going to make a mistake. So the rabbanan say, make sure you wait 24 hours and you for sure know it's 24 hours. Otherwise, you could end up traping up your whole kitchen in a more complicated situation. Yes?
Is it 24 hours as it's been used or 24 hours as it's been cleaned?
24 hours after it's been used. After it's been used.
Can you leave it there for 24 hours, get dirty?
Even if it's dirty. Doesn't matter.
No,
you can't. No, there's no issue.
Pickling or anything sitting there.
No, if it's 24 hours of pickling. Now pickling. Okay, Gabi's pointing out that if you have milk, we'll get to that. If you have milk sitting in a container. So if I have milk, this happened to one of my friends. He milk spilled in a pot. Was somewhat empty. It had something in the pot in his fridge. So he had a bag of milk that leaked. True story. Bag of milk that leaked into his pot. Now the pot, and it sat for 24 hours. So now he's got milk that absorbed into the pot. And once you use that pot, if you have milk that sat for 24 hours in the pot, so the pot absorbed the milk, and it absorbed a good taste of milk. Because right now it absorbed. So it absorbed a good taste of milk. The question will be, if he uses that pot again, what will be the din? So if he uses that pot again, if he doesn't have 60 against the milk that absorbed, that food is going to be usur. I think it, yes.
It's cold.
Even cold things, we'll get to, there's five categories of utensils. One of the categories of utensils that we're going to learn is called storage. storing things, pickling things. By pickling things, now obviously if you pickle a vegetable, what is that? If you pickle a, you know, most of the time nothing's going to happen. But if you pickle milk or you pickle meat, that means if you have in your, you put your milk, let's say, in a container, you know, in a what's it called? You know, a cod. What? What's it called?
A pitcher.
A pitcher, that's it. If you put your milk, too long in Israel. If you put your milk in a pitcher and you leave that milk in the pitcher for 24 hours, that pitcher becomes milchix. You pickled milk. Unknowingly, you pickled milk in your pitcher. Now that pitcher's become milchix. But you say, well, what do I care? And you're right, what do you care if your pitcher's milchix? You can even take that pitcher, use it for water in your fleshix meal. We will get to that. Yes? I'm sorry. Okay. The question is, if I have spoiled milk that sat in something for 24 hours. So that's okay. Because spoiled taste don't usher anything. Spoiled taste. So my rotten cottage cheese, my rotten milk. Okay, that's it. It sat in a pot. It sat outside. You know what? And it's a hot day, and you accidentally left it out in the wrong pot. It's going to spoil over. It's going to spoil within 24 hours. The heat of the day is going to spoil it. So even if it goes into the pot, it's spoiled. It's a bad taste. Would you have to kosher the pot? I don't think Biddy Evid, you wouldn't worry about it too much, but you probably, it would be a good idea to at least do Liban Kal on it. But if you didn't do it, there's nothing because it's a bad taste. It's no different than sticking the wrong spoon. You stick the wrong spoon in your pot, and the spoon is not a Ben Yoma, the spoon is, as we said, anytime you have an Eino Ben Yoma Kli and you stick it into something, it can't trafe it up. It's very hard to find this situation where you have a two Ben Yom Kalim meeting. Okay? So the first thing that we know, that we're learning, there's five categories of utensils. One is pots and pans. So pots and pans are usually used on a Kli Rishon. They're the ones that are, that's called a Kli Rishon. When you have it on the fire, that cooks, even if you just take it off the fire, and you use the wrong spoon, you stick the wrong spoon in. It's just, I took it off the fire for Shabbos, I put it on my counter, and I put the spoon in. That spoon is already becoming like the cholent. It's meaty. If it's the wrong spoon, if it's a milchik spoon, you better, and it's a Ben Yoma milchik spoon, you should have 60 in your food against the spoon. Okay? Yes. A microwave? So microwaves are very hard to trape up, believe it or not.
No, I'm saying the Kli.
Oh, the Kli in the microwave? I think that they're machmir on the Kli. If you take it straight out from the microwave, I would be machmir. Then if it's Yad Soledipo, right? That's what they... Okay? But if once you pour it into something else, so a coffee cup, normally another big heter, another huge heter is... Let's say now I have a coffee cup, and I'm pouring the water from my Kli Rishon off the stove into my cup. I put milk in it, and now I got my fleshik spoon, and I'm putting my fleshik spoon into my coffee cup. And I just stirred my coffee cup with the milk and everything with my fleshik spoon. What's the din of the coffee? Fine, it's mutter, because for a couple of reasons. But our main reason is that the coffee is a Kli Sheni. Once it's a Kli Sheni, Bidi Evid, it can't usher anything. You'd have to kosher the spoon because it's Afshar Latakein. It's possible to kosher the spoon. So on Kli Sheni, whatever is possible to fix, we try and fix. So that you should kosher the spoon. But, the cup, we said is cheres. The cup is made out of clay. You don't have to kosher the cup because the cup can't be koshered. So we're going to rely that the coffee is a Kli Sheni and the cup is completely mutter, even if the spoon was Ben Yoma. Yes.
Well,
No, that's a great question. She wants to know, when I pour the coffee, when I pour the milk, the water into my coffee cup, there would be a little bit of milk in the cup. Now steam is coming up. Okay? It's good. It's good. Okay? That's good. That's not a problem. For several reasons. Number one is that it's already coming up is already cliche-y. But you're gonna wonder that maybe it's coming up and hitting something hot. The answer is that the taste coming up in that steam, once it gets outside the coffee cup, it disperses. The amount of taste that's actually going into your if there would be, it's called reyach. It's equal to a reyach. It's equal to just a reyach milsa. It's equal to just an odor. Okay, which has no bearing. We paskin reyach lav milsa. Okay, this is brought down in the Aruch HaShulchan. Yes.
Does that also go for like if you're putting spices?
Great question.
Meat?
Correct. So there's a huge machlokas that goes on, not terribly complex. I'm taking my spices. Same type of question, right? I'm taking my spices and I'm putting them close to my pot with the steam. So the Aruch HaShulchan brings down that the minute that the steam passes the rim of the pot, it disperses. So there's no real flakes going into your spices. Not only that, but the halacha is that you're allowed to hang a salami to dry over your stove, even though the milk is coming up. The steam. That's a halacha. You would have to wash that salami before you eat it. Or wash it. Because you could wash it. Why? Because that's there a long time. It's finally, you know, it finally collects. And if you look at your stove tops, those people that have the covers over the stove that suck out the air, you see that they get dirty. So something does happen. But that's over a period of time. Just going like this with your spices, the most that it's going to come on is the edge, and that's nothing. And the next time you use it, it's buckle, it's gone. And it might not even collect. It depends how close you get.
Even at the
davar harif. Even though spices are harif and pilpul and paprika and hot peppers and everything, you don't have to worry. That comes up and it goes out. Okay? There's the only time that you have a question that they argue about is if it comes up and it's called Yad Saletifo, as we said, that it would be so hot it would burn you. But usually when you're doing your spices, I mean, that's pretty hot. I don't believe where we're putting our spices is you're gonna get into the argument. If you do get into the place where you get so far down below that it's Yad Saletifo, if you want it to be Machmir, Yesh Lachmir, but I wouldn't be machmir because lamaisa, there's nothing there. It's going, it's dispersing. All your taste is dispersing through the air. Yes. Right. There is that, but it's not going to happen. The question is, can you bring your cholent on Shabbos, turn on your meicham, your kumkum, and the water goes from your meicham into the chulent. Now the steam is coming up. Will that steam make your chulent fleshix? Well, that's kind of like the guy with the, we talked about earlier. What? Will make your kettle fleshix. Or that little bear is, will make your kettle. Again, that's the same thing. The minute that it comes up, it's spreading. So it's not, you don't have to worry about that steam. And there's not much taste coming up in steam. The only time we have to worry about the steam is when it's within. Don't put the metal that underneath the rim. If you put the metal underneath the rim, then you got a shiloh. Because then the steam is being, and that's if there's steam. If there's no steam under there, so you don't have to worry. Only when there's steaming going on. So when it's underneath, so that's when you're going to have a problem. If you hold it up, goes out all around. There's nothing. It's a mashahu. It doesn't even come into the needing to be bittul. It's such a little amount that will be going into your food. And there's no, and it's not called a connection either. Steam is not called a connection. If you have, we'll talk about it, a drop falls on your pot and the pot's covered and it's with steam, now we got something to talk about, because then it's all filled up. Or in your oven when it's all filled up with steam. We will get to those questions later on. Okay, so we talked about pots and pans, dishes. How are dishes scraped up? Dishes are usually... the only time you're going to have a problem with dishes is if you bring from the pot to the table and you're serving from your pot onto your dish. Then you could have a problem with dishes. But if you're serving, if you take, especially on Shabbos, you take your food, you put it in a serving bowl, and then from your serving bowl to your dish, you can't trafe it up. It's impossible. It doesn't even get it doesn't start. Because you're serving, that's irui from a kli sheni. Your serving bowl is a kli sheni. So I don't care if it's liat zelayas bowl or not. That's irui from a kli sheni, doesn't do anything. Your dishes are parv. They're actually parv. And people ask about it. Oh, this and this and this. No, they're parv. Okay? So, but if you took it from, and they have the question with the ladle, we're machmir on ladles. You dip the ladle in, it became a kli rishon. You take from the ladle and you put it onto your plate directly from the pot. That's already irui from a kli rishon. That makes the plates fleshiks or milchiks. Kadei klipa. Okay, and if you use them, you'd need 60 against the klipa. We will kasher those. Ashkenazim are very machmir. We'll kasher them but without irui. We will do hagala on them because we question whether or not irui is strong enough to actually, we are machmir both ways. Irui is strong enough to trape something up, but it's not equal to hagala. Or not, we don't know if it will take it out. So we're machmir. Bidi evid, if you did irui on your kalim, the ramah will be makel. Bidi evid. That's irui, that's dishes, and silverware. Silverware is also. But we're machmir. If you notice that on Pesach, we bring our kalim to the, to do hagalah. We're machmir on our silverware because oftentimes we stir. We stir on the stove. I do it all the time. I take any spoon I can grab and I stir. So many times we are machmir, Ashkenazim are machmir, to do hagalah on your silverware and things like that if they get traped up. But, but, Sfardim go rov tashmisho. So Sfardim, that's why on Erev Pesach, they will do irui on their kalim because they go by rov tashmisha, the way the majority is used. Okay, now okay, there's an interesting thing. I just told you that a kli sheni doesn't cook. Okay, that's very nice. A kli sheni does not cook, so you spoon your food into the pot, into the bowl, will be mutter. That's all kli, anything that happens in there. But if it's a solid, let's say your steak, or as we said earlier, a pizza. Somebody brought about a pizza. So pizza coming out of the oven, or anything which is a solid. Solids retain their heat. So even though I took my pizza off the pizza tray, and I put it on my plate, that pizza remains hot. That pizza has a din of lechatchila of a kli rishon. It keeps it hot until it's not yatzalasabo. So if you cut the pizza, even though you moved it from your pizza box to your tray, to now it's a kli sheni, you moved it, or they took it out of the oven, they put it into a pizza box, now it's a kli sheni, and then from the pizza box to your plate, that's a kli shlishi. It doesn't matter. It holds on to the heat. Solids hold on to the heat. The shach and the taz are machmir lechatchila about it, even I think up to a hapsa merubah. If they get up to a hapsa merubah, do we remember that, Nadav? Up to what time? I think maybe the shach is mekel in hapsa merubah. But the taz is very machmir. You have to be machmir when you're cutting a solid item, a potato, out of the microwave, no matter where you put it, a potato out of the oven, chicken. No, even if you take the chicken and you take it from your soup and you put it onto a plate, or from your serving dish, you put it onto a plate. A chicken, any solids, we're going to be machmir on when you cut it. Okay? That's, now cups, it's very interesting. Cups, are cold things. You are allowed to use a coffee cup at a meat meal. I one time told this to one of my guys, and he wanted to show off. So he had a whole bunch of people. He had a nice Shabbos, and he took out his coffee cups, and he gave everybody a coffee cup that was for sure was used with milk. You know, the coffee cup, hot milk, everything, it works. And he put it on the table, and he started pouring Coke and everything. And people are looking at this guy as he's really keeping kosher. I mean, you know, he wanted to prove a point. Anything which is used for cold, even though the coffee cup is milchix, because you used it for milchix many times, and even if you pour the water in, if you put the milk in first and then you pour the water, you made your coffee cup milchix, because you did irui into milk, so that's going to transfer the taste into the cup. But if you put the water in first and then the milk, that's nothing. Your cup stays parv. So, he took out his cups. Now, there's technically nothing wrong with that. So why do we have two sets of cups? Why would we cringe to do that? You know, and the answer is because it's a minhag. It's a minhag because people are worried about dirtiness. They maybe I didn't clean it enough. That became the minhag. Yisrael Kadoshim Haim. They want to keep it separate. They're worried maybe it's not good enough. And therefore, and sometimes you see in the bottom of a coffee cup a little bit of milk. But you don't have to worry even in that situation. It's bottle, it didn't come out, it's pagam probably by now. So if it happens, don't worry. You don't have to yell at your husband or your wife and forget about it. Just enjoy the meal. Okay? Yes. Yes. So then that coffee cup is what? Is it meat soup? So that coffee cup becomes meaty.
Okay,
that you're gonna
4 hours, or?
No, use it. So then don't use that coffee cup for milk.
Okay.
If you used it for milk, cold milk, we'll let it go. But don't try not to use it for milk at all. Okay. By the way, this is an easy one because now we know in hotels. Since you're using cold, even if you have a problem with the hotel, you go to a hotel and they serve milk and they serve cereals and things like that. If you're not makpid on the chalav akum or chalav stam, you can drink that. You can use their bowls because everything is cold. I can use their bowls to eat cold cereal out of. And I don't have any problem with it. Okay, you're a traveler also. You make sure they're clean and everything. We will get more into that. Storage containers. So we said storage containers are if you use them for wet things. Storing dry things in a storage container does nothing. That's absolutely. If I put my cookies in a treif pot, you know, something treif, that's nothing. It can only pick up taste through pickling. Okay, I'm just going to leave you with this one rule. I have much more things to say. We'll do it again. We'll continue unless people can stay. I know that there's babysitters and things like that. So if we could stay, we'll keep going. Storage containers. What?
Stop. Okay, wet.
So storage containers. We'll stay until, I guess, my battery runs out of this thing. Okay? It's down to 10%. It might go off at any minute. So storage containers are only a problem if there's wetness, if it's pickling. Then you have a problem with your storage containers. Okay? Otherwise, you can use them for anything you want. So the rule is kibolo kach polto. This is the rule that you have to remember. Kibolo kach polto. The way in, how it's absorbed, kibolo, how it absorbs, kach polto. That's how it's going to go out. Kibolo kach polto. That's the rule that you have to remember. Okay? So, what? Pickling, thank you. Pickling is, there's two types of pickling. I have to go into that a little bit more. There's two types of pickling. There's the pickling which is in water for 24 hours, and then there's a pickling in brine. Pickling in brine happens in 18 minutes. Okay? Now, it's very interesting about pickling that you say that, because what happens if I take my knife, my Fleishik's knife? You always get this kasha. I took my Fleishik's knife and I scooped out of my harif. I took some harif out of my, you know, a risa that's called, and it's my harif Fleishik's. I took my milchik's knife, my milchik's spoon, and I put it in my jelly. And I took it out. It's my jelly milchik's. No. Not milchik's, and the other thing is not Fleishik's. Even though it's harif. Though the harif spice is harif. Why? Because it didn't sit there for 18 minutes. And even then, the whole shayla to take out. To put in, it goes in. But the shach and taz say it has to be in there for 24 hours. So you could take your knife, your Fleishik's knife, and spread your harif on it, and it's going to be mutter. Yes. So cutting an onion is a completely different thing. Cutting an onion is the pressure. There's two things about cutting an onion. It's the pressure combined with the harifness, the sharpness. That's the problem. When it's pressure and harif. Yes. No. Again, what's the question? Yes. Yes, if you scoop out your harif, your arisa, green, red, it doesn't matter. You scoop it out with a Fleishik's knife. You can still use that that harif for milchiks. That harif is parv. That harif is parv.
Like
on
your table.
What for what? And you left it in there for 18 minutes? Okay, lechat chila, you can already be machmir. If you want to be machmir, I would not be. Because the shachataz, right away, they say it has to be in there for 24 hours, even a davar harif. To make something usser, to drive it in, harif drives it in very quickly, in 18 minutes. But to take it out is a whole world. It takes 24 hours. But there are people that say in 18 minutes. So it depends on how you want to do that. You don't have to be mad if you left it in. But 18 minutes is a long time. If you take it out and put it back in, it has to be 18 minutes consecutively. Thank you, Ari. It has to be consecutive. Usually in a meal, it's in and out, in and out. The second question, yes?
No, that's what I'm saying. If you put a plate of food and you have harif on your Shabbat table and you're at a meal for 2 hours... You know,
yeah, so be pay attention. If it was in there for 18 minutes, and you want it to be, if you want it to be machmir, 18 minutes, then there's that. That's the only time you even begin to ask a question. When before 18 minutes, not you're not even shy. That's okay. So that's pickling in the two different types of pickling: the 24-hour pickling without harif, and by the way, 24 hours only drives it in. If you leave water in, let's say, your meat pot for 24 hours, that water is parv. Because when the water comes out of the pot into the, when the blios, when the taste comes out of the pot into the water, already 24 hours passed. So it can't trafe anything. If you leave milk in a pot, in the wrong pot for 24 hours, that milk is still kosher because the taste when it came out, 24 hours passed. Once 24 hours passed, that's it. It's a bad taste. It can't do anything. Okay, so that's before and after 24 hours. Silverware cups. We talked about all this stuff. And then, if anybody wants, there's a how to do Haggalah. You can call me if you need to do Haggalah. We talked about the rest of this stuff. Appliances. Actually, there's a big question about ovens. How do you trape up ovens? What's the din of an oven? Stoves, your stove tops and grates, microwave, sinks, countertops and tables. I think we're going to have to just save that for the next time. But that's what we're going to start from. And then we're going to also talk about next week, Tevilas Kelim. Very exciting shiur next week. It's going to be unbelievable. Tevilas Kelim, Pas Akum, and Bishul Akum. For those people who have helpers in the house. It's going to be very exciting. Okay, that's it. Great. Okay, great.
We're trying to provide a better setup for the winter.
Okay. Yeah.
The battery's back?
Yeah.